Hello, my friends, and welcome to the book of 1 John. Chris Langham with you once again as we begin a new book today on Through the Word. And am I excited for this one? The heart of this letter is knowing God and knowing that you know God. Okay, maybe I use the word know too many times, but John uses it 43 times. He wants you to have confidence in your relationship with God because confidence makes a huge difference. Know that you know. Now, we're almost at the back of the Bible here, and many scholars believe that 1 John is, in fact, the very last written of all the Bible books. It's a letter from the Apostle John, same John who wrote the Gospel of John and Revelation. But 1 John was written some years later, and as we open the letter, the old apostle is now close to 100 years old. He's writing to a church that needs some assurance. It's a church that needs to know. Have you ever found yourself wrestling over what you believe? I mean, you already know it, but how do you know that you know? And even if you know it's true, how do you know that you're actually living it? You tell others that you know the truth and you know God, but sometimes you have questions. And it's not necessarily the truth or God that you question. You know God is true. It's yourself that you question. How do I know that my faith is real? How do I know that I know him? That's basically where the people are at that John is writing to. They're Christians and they know God, but they're struggling with their faith. And that's okay. They're human. And this world can be confusing. Church can be confusing, especially when you get different teachers telling you different things. But that's exactly what many of the epistles were written for, so that we would be equipped and educated to know true teaching from false. In this case, the false teaching was called Gnosticism, silent G, from the root word gnosis. It means knowledge, and it's the word you would see all those 43 times if you read this in Greek. And the Gnostics were all about what they knew. They claimed a higher knowledge that was above simple Christianity and simple minds like ours. Sort of a Christianity 2.0. Picture yourself a brand new believer walking through church just feeling great about God, great about yourself and your new relationship with God, and just eager to learn everything you can. You see some new folks and sort of stumble into their conversation. It's about God. You love it. And you discover that these guys know their stuff. I mean, really know. You almost can't keep up with the words they use. They tell you about some really cool spiritual concepts that you've never heard of. And they keep hinting at a secret knowledge. It's so cool. But the more they talk, the more you feel stupid. As your mind gets lost, your heart just sinks. If this is what it looks like to know God, maybe I'm just not good enough. And so it is to the church in this troubled state that John writes. He wants them to know. He wants us to know and to have assurance. Assurance that isn't about knowing some secret knowledge, but simply about knowing Jesus. So who is this John? Well, he's one of Jesus' 12 disciples, an eyewitness to Jesus. At this point, he is likely the last of the 12. He has outlived every one of the dear friends that followed Jesus with him all those years ago. Not because they got old. They never got the chance. Ancient church historians like Eusebius recorded their stories. Every last one of John's dear friends, even his own brother, killed. You gotta wonder what that does to a person, losing all their friends so cruelly. Remember, this is the same John who wanted to call down fire when some people wouldn't welcome Jesus. Jesus called John and his brother the sons of thunder. He had some anger issues. So with so much death, did the anger come back? It seems that John's time with Jesus affected him. Eusebius records an account of John in his final years, serving the church in Ephesus and traveling to visit the churches in other cities. All the believers would gather to hear the last living apostle. Once the crowd was full, John would speak up. Little children, love one another. And that was it. His whole message. Love. That's the heart of it. And that was John's heartbeat. He uses the word love 46 times in this letter, more than any other word. John wants us to love. John lays out the purpose of his letter in a few key statements. Right at the opening, verse 3 tells us, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." John's first goal is fellowship. He wants you to belong, to connect and commune with us as God's family, and to join us in fellowship with God himself. And you know what? That's my goal too. I want you to know God, because I know God, and I want to make him known. It's what Through the Word is all about. And when you do find yourself in that place of questioning your own faith, it can leave you feeling disconnected from God and from other believers. John wants us in fellowship. And his second goal, John wants you to know. In fact, there are 10 verses about knowing that anchor John's whole letter. 2:3, we know that we have come to know him if. 2:5, this is how we know we are in him. 3:10, this is how we know who the children of God are. 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because. 3:16, this is how we know what love is. 3:19, this is how we know that we belong to the truth. 3:24, this is how we know that he lives in us. 4:2, this is how you recognize the Spirit of God. 4:13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. And 5:2, this is how we know that we love the children of God. Then at the close of the letter, John brings it all home and states his second goal for writing in 5:13. I write these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. John wants you to know. How do we know those things? Well, that's what we're here to learn. We'll read the end of those statements when we get there. And when we're done with this letter, you can expect to walk your walk with a fresh sense of assurance. And that makes such a difference. Unless, of course, you read the letter and realize you don't know him. Scary thought, but better to find out now than when you meet him. Jesus did say in Matthew 7 that many will meet him at judgment, convinced that they know him and claiming all the stuff they did in his name. As he puts it, he will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Notice that the real issue was what they did. They are evildoers. And if that's you, I'm sorry, but this book will not be encouraging. But it may be exactly what you need to hear. Now, whether that's you or someone you know, or you're just not sure where you're at, 1 John is for you. John wants you to love. He wants you in fellowship, and he wants you to know. And I want you to know for sure whether or not you know him. Still not sure what you know? That's why we're here. Go ahead and start in on reading. You could even read the whole book in one sitting if you like. And I'll meet you back here in chapter 1.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.